Locked in place, immovable. Ryan's guess was that the green moss had built up on the mountings over the years and had clogged their mechanism. Doc had been leaning heavily on Jack's arm, his feet dragging, slowing their progress. But he suddenly shrugged off the boy's help with an imperious gesture of dismissal.
Yeah, I have no need of your aid, my good man. If I had a few copper coins, I would give them to you in order to rid myself of your importuning. Are there no workhouses for the poor?
And fuck you too, Doc.
Jack.
What?
His mind's been pushed sideways by that last jump. He doesn't know what he's saying. Just keep a careful eye on him.
Yeah, sure.
The air felt hotter, and the slime around their feet grew thicker and wetter. The corridor dipped, and the companions found themselves wading in several inches of tepid water. Something wriggled just ahead of JB.
What was that?
He stopped and probed the dimness with the barrel of his Heckler & Koch. But the movement had ceased. Several times they heard the humming of insects, but the attack on Christie wasn't repeated. They traveled another few hundred yards without encountering side passages or doorways. Ryan wanted to try to get into the main part of the redoubt so that they could scavenge for food and drink, maybe top up on ammo. And it would be so good to have a long, hot wash. Over the years, Ryan had seen quite a few old vids and read books and mags from the pre-dark times. It constantly amused and amazed him how often people seem to bathe and wash their hair. Women in some of the vids seem to do nothing but wash their hair and then strip off to shower or bathe. Often a preliminary for lovemaking, Ryan had noticed. Generally, the only place in Deathlands to be sure of a hot bath was in a gaudy house with a whore to scrub at you with a cake of lye soap. But the nature of the business meant that you might be the 30th person using the same scummy water.
These caves are becoming tedious, Emily. I shall endeavor to obtain egress for us as soon as I possibly can.
He might be part stoop at the moment, but I reckon I wouldn't mind getting out of here. Another half hour and I'll be growing mold on the inside of my eyes.
Jack was in the lead, and he stopped suddenly, holding up a hand.
What is it, Jack?
Think I see it light ahead, but hear weird noise.
Christy half closed her eyes, concentrating on listening. She shook her head for a moment. Then her whole body stiffened, and she turned to Ryan.
Insects.
What? Like these little bastards around us?
No. Lots.
He's right, lover. Lots. Sounds to me like the biggest swarm of something coming our way. Sounds like the biggest bees ever spawned.
Bees? Does this mean there will be honey for tea?
Everyone ignored the old man. The moss-lined walls of the corridor seemed to close in on them, as if trying to suck them into a dark maw. In the silence, Ryan could finally hear the noise. The corridor began to vibrate, and Ryan could even feel the hum deep in the marrow of his bones. There was a prickling of the short hairs at his nape.
Killer bees. Seen them before. Remember that vill down on the gulf, Ryan, 5 years back?
Ryan remembered the frightening silence and the bloated corpses, bodies covered with a mass of lethal stings. Men, women, children, and animals, all dead, victims of predators less than an inch long. Ryan recalled once seeing an old mag story about the way the bees had been bred someplace in South America and had come raiding north.
What do we do? They'll hit us way before we get back to the Mattrams.
Right. Back's no good. Can't get over or around. Only chance is a door ahead somewhere. JB and Jack, take Doc. Carry him if you have to.
Ryan led the way at a fast trot, his rifle looped over his shoulder. One thing was sure, that a blaster wouldn't be much help against millions of murderous insects. Doc had virtually collapsed, hanging between Jack and the armorer, the toes of his boots furrowing through the clogging lichen.
There.
Christy pointed to the right-hand side of the corridor. Even in the dim light, Ryan could make out the rectangular shape of a doorway, with a comp control panel recessed in the concrete halfway up.
It's number-coded.
It was also hopelessly blocked with the intruding fingers of feathery moss. JB and Jack arrived at the doorway, hauling Doc Tanner between them. Both looked at the sec-lock. Neither said a word. The noise of the insects was almost deafening. The corridor ran straight ahead for a couple of hundred yards before it forked left. Ryan stared into the shadows, suddenly realizing that the advance flight of the swarm was in sight. A shimmering blur of vicious movement raced toward them, heartbeats away.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Emergency override. Fire blast, of course!
Ryan smashed the glass over the buttons of the comp lock, ignoring the cuts to his fingers. Over the top of the numbers and letters was a single red switch. Ryan flicked it, enduring the half-second of agonized doubt as microcircuits that had been barren for 100 years finally clicked into startled life. The bolts rattled back, and the door began to open.
Ah, to hell with this.
Christy slipped through the gap first, turning to help pull Doc into safety. Jack and JB followed immediately. Ryan was last through, throwing his weight with the others to close the door behind them. Doc was dropped to the floor as the other four all heaved to narrow the gap.
Throw the locking levers, Jack.
Ryan gritted as they fought against the heavy door. The gap was down to 12 inches, to 8, and then to 4. The first, fastest bees hit the gap when it was a shrinking 2 inches, but their attack was so ferocious that dozens of them squeezed through before the door crunched shut.
Ugh, black dust!
JB swatted his beloved fedora at the bees. The insects were longer and slimmer than the bumbling honeybees that Ryan knew well from various parts of Deathlands. These were more like aerial torpedoes, with scaled bodies of turquoise and silver, narrow wings that beat with dazzling speed, and stings like hooked barbs, their tips glistening with a highly toxic venom. Jack slammed the bolts on the door. Though Ryan knew it had to be his imagination, he actually thought he could hear the millions of ferocious projectiles pounding on the other side of the Armasteel barrier.
Ah!
A jagged burst of pain struck Ryan on the back of the neck, just above his collar. He slapped at it, feeling a fluttering body pulped under his hand. Another bee stung him on that same hand, making him spin around. He waved his fists and tried to club them away. Each of the companions was under attack by at least 10 of the killer bees. Unlike some other insects, these bees didn't lose their lives when they used their stings. Ryan didn't have time to take in his surroundings. He simply realized that they were in a bare entrance hall with other doors opening off it.
What the fuck?
Christy had a livid swelling just below her left eye, and another at the corner of her mouth. JB was best off, his hat proving a lethal weapon against the muty insects. Ryan had 5 separate stings before the bees were finally all killed and crushed to the floor. Doc sat against the wall, sunk once more into his catatonic state, stings disfiguring his hands. Jack had been stung only once, but it was on the inside of his nose, causing him excruciating pain.
Found the fucking door just in fucking time.
Ryan touched one of the tender swellings on his neck.
I guess another 15 seconds and half the swarm would have been in here with us.
And goodbye would be all she wrote.
Yeah. If just a few stings from these muty bees hurts this much.
There was no need for her to finish the sentence. Everyone knew what she meant. One of the other doors led them into a section of what had once been a huge redoubt. Unlike in the gateway part of the complex, it looked as though the withdrawal here had been more leisurely and thorough. They found little evidence of private possessions that had been left behind. But they did find a residential section that had nuke-powered cooking facilities with stocks of all sorts of food and drink.
Which should mean some ammo around the place.
Christy pointed to a large sign with an arrow pointing toward ablutions.
That's for me.
Me too.
You two are always ablutin'.
Well, maybe it'll take some of the shit out of these stings. And I get first go at the hot water, if there is any.
JB took off his spectacles and polished them on his sleeve.
Fair enough, Ryan. Me and Jack will try and rustle up some eats and get Doc to rest up. Dormitories are down that way.
Christy laid a hand on Ryan's arm as they walked off together.
Could be what we all need, lover. A chance to rest and recreate some. Acclimate to this damp heat. Sleep, eat, and wash.
He reached to pat her on the backside.
And this, Christy. In a bed with clean sheets and blankets. If the place seems safe-sealed, we can lie together without a blaster in our fists.
She stopped, lifted her face, and kissed him gently on the lips.
Sounds good to me, lover. Real good.
In fact, it was wonderful. They passed through several hissing automatic doors, the pervasive green algae disappearing, and the air becoming cooler and cleaner, until they reached a changing room with rows of cubicles and piles of white towels. Most had rotted and disintegrated when they were picked up, but Christy and Ryan found a few near the bottom that seemed in better condition.
Automatic wash and dry machines with fluff and fold option.
Hope they work. I remember putting a good pair of pants into one of them in a redoubt once, and getting back a handful of wet khaki ribbons.
The showers were immaculately white-tiled, with drain plugs of polished chrome and gleaming taps that offered control temperatures from icy to scalding. Ryan was undressed first and chose plain hot. He turned the handle and waited, not really believing that anything would happen.
Shit.
Christy joined him, looking up at the shower head.
Think it's working, lover?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Better than self-heats. A hell of a lot better.
JB stirred a huge copper cauldron of canned soup and stew. His hat was pushed to the back of his head, and his glasses had slipped down to the tip of his nose.
What's in it?
Beef, kidney, and more beef. Tomatoes and sweet corn, peas and beans. Okra, and some grits to thicken it up some.
Doc's asleep. Think his mind will ever come back, Ryan?
Can't tell. Losing Lori was a pretty big blow. Then the triple jump and the dog getting chilled pushed him over the edge. Old bastard's come back before. Just hope he will again.
Doc appeared in the doorway of the big dining room, bleary-eyed.
Come back, did I hear you say? Back. Back is safe, but forward is most perilous. A dark tower to ride against.
Want to eat, Doc? It's about ready.
Most kind, my dear chap. I trust you've received the table reservation for my wife and myself.
How's that?
JB caught Ryan's glance.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Doc walked stiffly across the room and sat down.
I don't suppose any of you good people have seen my brain anywhere around, perchance. I know it was a small and poor thing, but it was my own. If anyone should happen to stumble across it...
Ryan, Christy, and Jack sat down around the table. JB ladled out the soup, which was almost thick enough to slice with a knife.